Sex is the life force energy that runs through us all. Can you use sexual energy for your spiritual evolution, or perhaps for emotional healing? Is it even possible? Clinical sexologist Dr. Martha Tara Lee will explore all these and more on Eros Evolution on Om Times Radio.
Hello and welcome to Eros Evolution. This is where sexuality and spirituality meet. This is Martha once again, and I'm your host for this show. So I'm from Eros Coaching. That's eroscoaching.com. That's my practice. And I'm a clinical sexologist with a doctorate in human sexuality and been in practice for 7 years. Started this show coming to 3 years now. Always exploring the link between sex and spirit because I was interested in it. And I've had many different guests over the last 3 years, coming to 3 years. And today we have a topic, a title that has never been used before. And the title for today's show is The Spirit of Sex. And we with Canadian sexologist, Dr. Stephen DeWitt. And he will be delving into sharing his personal and professional connection to the spirit of sex, exploring the strong ties to identity and connection to one's partner. In today's show, we'll be talking about how you can develop a deeper understanding of self and sharing that authentically through your sexual connection and expression. So Dr. Stephen DeWitt, he's a board-certified sexologist through the American College of Sexologists, which I'm also a member of. He holds a Master's of Public Health in Human Sexuality and a Doctorate in of Human Sexuality. His Toronto's Hassle-Free Clinic is where Stephen first started as a sexual health counselor and now travels both internationally and nationally speaking about sexual empowerment. As a sexuality educator, coach, and consultant, he's committed that people live in a sexually empowered life free from guilt, shame, and fear, and have relationships that work. He's regularly featured in national newspapers and television shows, providing relevant, thought-provoking sex education and information. And he's recently authored the book, The Sexual Freedom System, Winning the Inner Game of Sex. He's a master at creating a fun, safe, comfortable environment for people to take an honest look at their sex lives and transform what is not working. And you can go to his website. That's Dr. D with the DEWIT.com. So welcome to the show.
Hi, Dr. Martha Lee. It's a pleasure to finally get to talk to you in person and to be on this show. I've been a fan for a lot of years.
Oh, thank you so much. I've been following your work as well, and I've been admiring you from afar, and certainly very, very glad when I reached out that you said yes so quickly. So thank you.
My pleasure.
So I was just doing a quick Google of you just now, just before the show, and I understand that you are also with some speaking bureau. So you are actually not just a sexologist, but you actually also put yourself out there as a speaker.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking is something that I really love to do. For me, you know, my message of sexual empowerment and people being comfortable in their own bodies and in their own relationships is so important. And for me, being able to speak to people on a large scale is, you know, I get to impact the greatest amount of people in the shortest amount of time. And it's just, I'm a bit of a performer at nature as well. So speaking is something that I love. And I speak at conferences, and not necessarily sexuality conferences, but conferences. I mean, I've done dental conferences and financial conferences and fitness conferences. Any smart organization that understands that healthy sexuality is part of a person's whole kind of and complete wellness and happiness, smart organizations are bringing me in as a speaker.
That's awesome. That's really, really great to know, because I have difficulties pitching myself to corporates, and it's always considered a kind of taboo subject. and not to mention the kind of looks and jokes that I get as a sexologist here in Asia. So I'm so happy for you that you are able to get yourself out there to corporates in that way, because I certainly believe it's really important to get the message of sexual empowerment and positive sexuality to as many people as possible. So I'm really happy for you. And I was on your website also, and I saw that there's this little thing that says that you are the Tony Robbins of sex. Tell us more about that.
Well, you know, it's funny. You know, speaking to your point earlier, when most people are bringing, you know, a sexologist in to speak, there's usually a committee if it's a big conference, and they're like, half of the committee is like, no, we think this was a good idea. It's a great human interest speaker. Stephen is really good. I've seen him speak before. And the other half is like, oh my goodness, is he going to take his pants off or is he going to show porn? Right? So there's always this fear. And what I have to get over, and where you get the Tony Robbins of sex, is when I'm speaking and I'm connecting with people, I'm so focused on the audience and making a difference for each and every one of those people. And so a lot of the work that I do is I use humor, I use inspiration, I use motivation, I use empowerment. I have a lot of energy. I get the crowd up and moving and taking on new things and thinking about things differently and interacting with the audience, obviously in a safe and consensual way. And so all of those things that I've done, most people don't expect. You know, they think, oh, it's going to be, pardon me, it's going to be a really serious conversation about sex, or it's going to be very technical and you're going to have to do this, this, and this. And then I come in and people are laughing and having fun and learning at the same time. So that's how I earned that kind of title as the Tony Robbins of sex.
Wow, that's amazing. I would love to see you in action. In an event, I've seen Tony Robbins, so I can imagine how you would look having the crowd in the palm of your hand.
Yeah,
I can really see that with you. That's
absolutely
really awesome. I think it's important to get people to do activities and also get them to laugh with you, because really some people are so serious about sex. Mm-hmm. It's important to be lighthearted ourselves.
Absolutely. It's one of the most private and sacred and confidential parts of people's lives. And then all of a sudden, you're in an audience of 500 or 5,000 people, and, you know, you're talking, you're learning about sex, and you're, you know, being confronted maybe by some things or having to deal with some things that you've been avoiding. You know, that I do a lot of work on communication. I believe communication is the most important aspect of sex and sexuality. And so, you know, I always ask people to put up their hand if, you know, you're avoiding that one conversation about sex that you think you should be having. And, you know, 90% of hands a raise, and you know, the other 10%, it's, well, they probably should have had that conversation, but they're not in that relationship anymore. So it's always interesting working with people. You know, I do one-on-one work as well, but in an audience, because there is so much you know, guilt, shame, fear, people trying to adhere to the standards, ideals, norms, and expectations of their, you know, particular gender or their particular religion or culture that they grow up with. So one of the things as a speaker that I do that's really important is I create a safe space. So I go over respecting confidentiality, I go over respecting diversity, and I go over, you know, speaking your own truth, so using I language when you share to honor your own personal experience and journey in this area, but also to respect that other people are going to have different ones as well. And then I also, you know, own my own privilege as a sexologist, as a male, as, you know, a white male, as educated, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I just, you know, I spend time doing that, and I do that, you know, humorously as well. So everyone can just take a deep breath and just relax and know that they're in a safe, comfortable place, and that we're going to have some fun and we're going to have some learning as well.
Yeah, that's really so important. I think one of the biggest lessons that I had when I started my practice, really not sure what the hell I was doing, was that over time, my clients actually said, you know what, Martha, it's not what you taught us that really made a difference in our lives. It was who you were. It's who you are. It's the essence of who you are. And I think it's so important that we embody it. And I really certainly get that feeling from you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know what, it's your being. It's not our doing. It's not the things that we do, but it's our being that is, and you know, for anyone who's, you know, being a leader or a speaker or, you know, a trailblazer or working with people, it's, you know, people are so attuned to your energy, to your spirit, to your way of being, that if that is off in any way, especially as you and I are talking about such a private and confidential and sacred topic as sex, if people get a whiff of that, you'll have zero credibility and they won't be interested at all unless you're 100% authentic and you can actually walk your talk. So a lot of, you know, what I do is just really, you know, being okay with, you know, however people show up, whatever questions that they have, wherever they're at in their journey, if they're having lots of sex, if they're having no sex, if they're, you know, married and monogamous, if they're polyamorous, if they're asexual, who cares? You know, I always like to share that 99.9999999% of the people that I meet in this world, I'm never going to have sex with. So why do we put so much effort on? Why do we judge people? Why are we concerned about people judging us? And so, you know, again, it's that ability to connect with each and every person so they feel valued, they feel important, and that I'm a safe person that they can learn from.
Beautiful. Yeah, it's true that we care a lot what other people think, as if, you know, that's some kind of validation that we are okay. And this comparison certainly has to stop. We are not in kindergarten anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
So we have a break now, and after this break, we'll come back and speak with Dr. Stephen D. Wett. A sexologist, and you can find him at Dr. Dr. D. Wett. Wait, sorry.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hi, I'm Kelly Fox, host and astrologer of The Astrology Show. Each week, I'll give you access to the current transits, which are a valuable tool that provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has. Understanding the stars can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, be sure to tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance, Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Every 2 minutes, an American is sexually assaulted. The majority of victims know their attacker. It could be your friend, your neighbor, or someone you met at a party. If you said no, it's rape, and it's a crime. This is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Call the National Sexual Assault Hotline today at 1-800-656-HOPE or visit RAIN.org. That's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
Welcome back to Eros Evolution. You are listening to the show on the OM Times Radio Network, and you can share this show with your friends by going to the link omtimes.com/mobile. With this link, you'll be able to listen to the show without needing to download any app. It's really cool. So we are talking about the spirit of sex today with sexologist Dr. Stephen D. Witt, and he is at drdewit.com, dwitt.com. So you can also find him on Facebook and Twitter. Twitter is the same, DrDeWitt. And that's Stephen D. Witt on Facebook. So we started having a really good time talking about work really, and in general, our sex attitude and how this influences our work. And the importance of having a positive attitude in being sexologist, and also not being judgmental of people. And I hope we've certainly inspired you to not be so hard on yourself, and also really care a little bit less what other people are doing with their sex lives, because it really doesn't concern us. So anyway, yes, so let's talk a little bit more about Dr. Stevens DeWitt's credentials, because I haven't really asked you this just now, which is how long have you been doing this? And maybe just for the sake of listeners who are not familiar with your work in Toronto, maybe some of the publications you appeared in, or maybe awards you've won.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So I've been doing this going on 10 years now. I received my doctorate 5 years ago, but I've been active in this space as a sexual health counselor, as a volunteer, for a very, very long time. Well, a decade, which is a long time for me. I'm 40 years old now. And, you know, as far as media, I mean, here in Canada, there's I have a local radio spot that I do here on News Talk 1010 every Sunday night at 1040. And, you know, I've been on E-Talk, on the Marilyn Dennis Show here. I've been in the Globe and Mail, the Toronto Star, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And then internationally in the States, I was on Showtime on a show called Sex with Sunny Megatron. And I was there as a sexologist and a personality there as well, and been featured. You know, if people Google me or are interested to learn more, there's a number of different websites that I've been featured on as well, from Men's Fitness to the W Network, which is the Women's Network. All over the web, people could find me as well. And I've been fortunate to be acknowledged and honored at a conference this year. And ironically, like I was saying, Martha, I speak at all different types of conference, and this was a fitness conference called the Can Fit Pro Conference, so Canadian Fitness Professional Conference. And I won the, I'm going to look at it right now, the New Presenter of the Year for 2017. And that was, you know, I got to get up and receive my audience, receive the award, excuse me, and speak to the audience. And there was 5,000 people in the audience. So for me, as a sexologist, and, you know, there's not a lot of us out there, and, you know, me deciding to go into this area of specialization, you know, formally, you know, about 10 years ago, and then never even being able to dream about speaking to an audience that side. And there's a very, like, fun part of me that's like, oh my goodness, Stephen, you got to say sex in front of 5,000 people. And I just, you know, that concept in of itself is a bit brain bending for me. But I won an award for that. So it's something that I really love to do, and, you know, talk about sex and have people feel comfortable and have people explore, you know, the sex life that they want and that they deserve.
Yeah, I'm so happy for you. I'm really, really happy. Yeah, I feel that when, you know, our colleagues do well, it's progress, you know, for all of us.
Yes. Yeah, and that's one thing as sexologists, like, you know, we have such a, you know, a tight bond, and there's not enough of us out there. There's so much work to do. I think there's an epidemic of bad sex out there in the world, and the more that we can help each other and support each other, and I have great relationships with, you know, people all over the world, and I love it. If there's an issue that I have, I kind of post it somewhere, and I know that there's a sexologist, you know, in Australia that's going to be awake, and when I'm asleep, or in Singapore, or, you know, in the States somewhere. So when I wake up, there's going to be an answer to, you know, the issue that I had and the question that I had, because of you know, we have such a tight-knit community, because there is such important work to do.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, you can count on me to have your back from now
Thank
on.
You. Thank you. The feeling's
yeah,
mutual.
Yeah, I want to be there for you. Yeah.
Thank you.
So I haven't asked you this question. I kind of just assumed what made you become a sexologist. I'm sure you get asked this question a lot, but for the sake of listeners, what made you become one?
Yeah, really, there's a long and a short story for it. So I'll give you the condensed version, just I want to respect our time. Yeah. Sex has been something that I've always been fascinated with. And from a very young age, it's been a big part of my life. So I grew up Roman Catholic, and I was an altar boy for 7 years. So that's where I really developed my love of speaking, is I'd be an altar boy and see the priest actually speaking and connecting and seeing the power that he had to connect with the audience. And that's where I got comfortable being in front of an audience. But I also, as growing up Catholic, saw the very confusing to me at that time, conversations happening around sex. So in that setting, it was, you know, a very negative thing. You shouldn't think about it. If you think about it, it's just as bad as doing it. There was just lots of things about sex that were bad and wrong. And then I'd walk outside after church on Sunday morning, and I'd turn on the TV, and I'd see this gratuitous, you know, graphic depiction of women and sex and in advertising and all over the place. And it's just like, okay. And then I'd be like, well, I can't think about it. I'm looking at a pair of breasts, but don't think about it, because if you think about it, Stephen, you're going to go to hell. Right. And like, this whole world was going into things that way. So for me, that was one of the things that was there. Also, when I was about 13 years old, I found out that a girl that I had grown up with, and, you know, I grew up back in Vancouver, British Columbia, in Canada, and in British Columbia, as I said. And one of the girls, the neighborhood girls that I grew up with, that I would, you know, go out at night. At that time, we'd go out and play outside in the street. And we lived by a place called Lynn Canyon, so we'd go in there and play. And I found out that she had been sexually abused for a long period of time, from the ages of like 9 to the age of like 13 or something like that. And I remember finding out when I was in grade 9, so I would have been 13 years old, and just so upset. And I remember coming home from school, and I remember crying, and I remember her coming over and talking, my mom talking to me and her coming over and talking to me. And I was just so upset. And one, I was upset that this happened to her. And the second thing was upset is that she didn't tell me, because I wanted to help her. I wanted to do something. Now, the reality is, Martha, I was a year younger than her, so I really didn't have a lot of voice or experience in being able to talk about this or support her in any way. But it was at that moment that I said, hey, you know, I don't want this to happen. If there's something that I can do to prevent this, I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
So that was a pivotal time in my life. And then the other part that I don't share with a lot of people, but my mom's going to be holding her head if she hears this. I'll send it to her, though. When I was 19 years old, I was at the University of British Columbia. I was finishing I was in the middle of doing my undergraduate degree there. And I worked in a nightclub. And it was a place called the Wild Coyote. And it was an actual place back. It's no longer there. And I was a topless male waiter. So what they would do at that time is between 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock at night, it'd be only women. So it'd be packed with about 200, 250 women. And there would be male strippers that would come in. And in Vancouver, you can go full Monty, so completely naked, right? And I was there as a topless male waiter. I didn't take my pants off, but I was there. At that time, I was a few pounds lighter, and I had a beautiful torso, and so I would sell drinks. But what was fascinating for me was I got a glimpse into female sexuality that very, very few people did. And I saw 250 women owning their sexuality, feeling safe to, you know, communicate that, be safe to like, hey, I'm sexual and this is something that I want. And I'm, you know, and it was done in a fun, you know, environment. And I was like, wow, this is powerful. This is something that I've never seen before, because women generally are not given permission to advocate for themselves, to express their sexual wants, to let that, let that inner beast off the leash, so to speak. And I saw that and I was like, wow, this is powerful. This is fascinating. And so those were three things in my growing up just as a young man that were really curious about had me curious about sex and sexuality. And then when I moved to Toronto, I had an experience here. I was dating a girl. She was Miss Toronto at that time. So I like to joke and say I was Mr. Toronto just by default, because I was dating her. And I cheated on her. And that really rocked my world, because I was taught to love, honor, and respect women. And I don't drink, so I wasn't drunk. And I just went through this a whole process at that time. I was 26 years old, this whole like upheaval in like who I was, and was really broken up and was in a severe depression for about 18 months, and then started working with a coach, a gentleman by the name of Dr. Tom Preston, an amazing man, and a therapist by the name of Barbara Power. And I did a ton of work on myself around my relationship to women, my relationship to sex, relationship to myself, and, you know, got to this place of really understanding myself and freedom to be who I am in the world and to be able to express myself in a way that honors who I am and what I'm interested in and my sexual self-expression at the same time as loving, honoring, and respecting women. So I had to do a lot of work on, you know, eliminating the social scripts that I had been taught, the way that I was supposed to access sex and relationships, and just had these amazing relationships and these amazing sexual connections with partners in my life. And I thought, wow, if I can go from such a dark place to this place of freedom and power and amazing relationships, this is something that I can commit my life to, because there is so much pain. There is so much unhappiness in the world in this area. If I can take my learning and learn more and share that with the world, I can increase the quality of people's lives, the amount of love in the world, and that's something that I can commit my life to.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing. First, you shared about the Catholic influences and how mm-hmm. it was confusing for you. Then you talked about coming of age and learning about sexual abuse, the ugly side of sex. And then you talked about your own sharing of how you cheated and how that started you on your own journey of really deepening your connection with yourself and with your masculinity, with your manhood, with being human. So that's really beautiful what you're sharing. Thank you for sharing that vulnerability.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
So this is I can begin to understand and see now what started to drive you towards being a sexologist, and also mm-hmm. the spiritual side of it a little bit, how that started to bring up questions for you with regards mm-hmm. to spirituality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'd love to talk, more about that and share more about, you know, the spirit of sex and how I see that in my life as well as professionally as well, because it does play, you know, a big role for people in their ability to connect, number one, with themselves, as well as connect with their partner or their partners in life.
Yes. So just waiting for the break to come up. And,
there we go.
I certainly find that a lot of people who have some kind of religion in their life certainly struggle with their relationship with sexuality. So mm-hmm. we'll explore more about this after this break.
Mm-hmm. Free your mind with Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
What's up? This is Brad and Mike from Linkin Park for Lifebeat, the music industry fights AIDS. Listen up, times are tough and you get a lot of things thrown your way. If you're being pressured to have sex and you're not ready, then say no. If you're having sex, be smart and use protection. Respect yourself and protect yourself.
For more information, call the National AIDS Hotline at 1-800-342-AIDS or log on to www.lifebeat.org.
and welcome back to Eros Evolution. In today's show, we are exploring the link between sex and spirit with Dr. Stephen DeWitt, and today's show title is The Spirit of Sex. So he is the author of The Sexual Freedom System, Winning the Inner Game of Sex, and you can pick up a copy of his book by going to his website, that's grdewitt.com. And so tell us a little bit more as we start to explore more about the topic of spirit of sex or sex and spirit. When have you first started experiencing the connection between sex and spirit in your life, Doctor?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's two main areas. One is, you know, my personal journey as well as my professional journey and working with clients and seeing that connection. So and one of the things that I come across a lot is people are they're focused on the what I call the accounting of sex, or the mathematics of sex, said another way. So they're focused on how many times, how long, how many orgasms, how big is my partner, or how big is my partner's body parts, how small is my partner's body parts, how many partners have I had, etc. They get caught up in the mathematics of sex. And
yes,
what they forget or what they miss out on is really the what's important. And the spirit of sex is, and it's going to be different for different people, but it's that feeling of connection, of intimacy, of fun, of pleasure, of vulnerability. Number one, with yourself, and number two, with your partner. And we get so focused on what it looks like, we forget about really what the essence is and what it makes available to us. I like to joke around, it's like, you know, you have a car and you want to get to a destination. I don't even know. You want to go out somewhere for dinner because, you know, you're hungry and you need food and you need that sustenance and that part to, like, you know, nourish your body so you can function and you can live. And yet you don't go there because you're worried about what the car looks like. Right. You're worried about, you know, the color of it, or you're worried that it's not it doesn't have, I don't know, power windows or a sunroof or something. So you just don't go and you don't get that nourishment. It's the same thing. So, you know, we look at the spirit of sex, we're so focused on the mechanics, what I like to call the hydraulics of hard into wet, that we miss out on some of the subtler sides or the softer sides that can be just as powerful. You know, in my evolution as a man and as a sexual being, you know, it at different times it has been, and especially in my younger years, you know, like hormones raging was like, I just want sex. You know, that's it. It's another, you know, human being. And then it's, you know, how much sex I can have, and focused on that and that world. And you know, now in my own journey, it's how can I deepen? How can I explore? How can I connect in ways beyond the physical? And that's a beautiful place that that I am at in my life, and that really allows me to become more comfortable with who I am and my identity and who I am as a sexual man and what I'm able to give and provide and to receive sexually. And that last part, Martha, is something that I have struggled with for a long time, is receiving. I am a giver by nature. I like taking care of people. I like helping. I like healing. I like supporting. I do that professionally. I do that with my friends. I do that with lovers. And now I'm just kind of at a place of, like, honoring, like, my spirit and honoring who I am and realizing that part of my journey and part of this very powerful, very, you know, we've talked about, like, the Tony Robbins of sex, that fun performance, you know, highly energetic individual. That's part of who I am, but that's also part of a defense for me. So I don't have to be vulnerable. So I don't have to show the areas where I'm insecure or I'm scared. And so for me in my personal journey and specifically where I'm at now, it's how do I be more vulnerable? How do I open up? And how am I able to receive? So that's more the, you know, my journey and where I've been over the last probably about 2 years. I've really looked at this and being like, where is the area that I can grow? Because there's an expectation for myself that I am an expert in this area or I should know this stuff. And then, you know, being compassionate to myself and being like, no, I don't have to have it all figured out. And I can grow. And how do I grow? And again, it speaks to what you and I spoke about before is I need to be walking my talk. You know, I'm not, I don't want people to listen to me because I got a lot of letters after my name or I've written a book or I've spoken here or I've been on this TV show. You know, what's going to resonate is if I'm walking that journey myself and if I'm, you know, connecting with my spirit and who I am and, you know, really doing that work as well is going to allow me the foundation, the integrity, the authenticity to be able to stand for other people so they can have that in their life as well.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah, you're very welcome. It's something that I'm fascinated with on the professional side of things. You know, in working with, I work with individuals and couples and help them discover and create the sex life that they've always wanted. So, you know, I work with people, you know, internationally by phone or, you know, Skype or whatever works for them to be able to connect. And depending on what the person's dealing with and what they're confronted with, but often with couples, that's an area and element that they're not really attuned to. They are caught up in, you know, often I'll work with couples and they're experiencing, you know, what we call bed death. So there's everything's okay, but our sex life doesn't work.
Yeah.
Everything's okay, but, you know, if we could just, you know, kind of, you know, turn the crank and get things going in the bedroom, it would be great. And one of the things that I like to share with people is, you know, I get this question a lot, is sex the most important thing about a relationship? I'm like, no, it's totally not. It isn't important. It's not the most important. And I like to say that sex is a symptom of what's going on in the relationship. So if things are well, if you're connected, if you're, you know, having that heart-centered relationship with your partner, if you have that openness, guess what? Sex is going to be good. And if you're not, if you allow those walls to come up, if you're shut down for whatever reason, if you've, you know, I love that you've forgiven, but you're not forgotten. Right? If you sweep all that stuff under the rug, well, after a while, that rug is pretty bumpy and you can't stand on it. So that foundation of your relationship, because it's years or decades of sweeping stuff under the rug and not dealing with it, is now getting in your way. And so I do, you know, work with people on healing that for themselves, of being able to give themselves a voice. And to be able to speak to that, because in my experience, in my practice, there's a lot of people that don't speak about sex. You know, people, they're with their partner, you know, they're going to deal with all sorts of things in this world. They're going to deal with, you know, having kids and raising kids and a kid getting sick. They're going to deal with the death of their parents. They're going to deal with illness, you know, from one another. And they'll go through those battles, they'll deal with those things, they'll have those hard conversations. But when it comes to sex, you know, that's really an area where people shut down. They're not open, they're not honoring who they are. And, you know, and therefore it's very difficult for them to connect and honor who their partner is. And that's why, you know, with my book, I took so much time. It's the sexual freedom system, winning the inner game of sex. So it's about really honoring yourself and understanding, developing your, I mean, there's four steps that I go into, but, you know, honoring your sexual self-awareness and developing that, developing your sexual self-esteem, developing your sexual responsibility, and then, you know, having your authentic sexual self-expression after you have those first three steps. And a lot of that is working on your spirit and honoring that and having that level of connection and intimacy. And being present in the moment and slowing things down. You know, that's when people talk to me about this, and they want to be able to connect and honor with their honor their partner. The easiest stuff that I do is slow things down, and then touch as lightly as you possibly can. And there's an exercise, you know, called Sensate Focus, where I get people to, you know, really as lightly and as slowly as possible touch their partner and focus their energy on actually receiving the touch on the pads of their fingers. You know, most of the time we're touching because we want to provide pleasure to our partner, but this is touching so we're receiving pleasure on the pads of our fingertips. And that's something that when people start implementing into their life and really having that energetic connection with their partner, things start slowing down. Things start opening up. It's not Operation Orgasm, and that's the one focus and sole focus that we have on having sex. But we're now into the world of connecting, of being present, of being exploring, of not having that hyper focus on that end goal or that end result. It's just being and connecting with your partner that can be so beautiful and so powerful at the same time.
Yeah, that's really important to really start to become comfortable with our sexuality in all these aspects that you talked about. I guess listeners would be very interested in like how exactly they can start.
Yeah, I mean, I think the first part, again, I always go back to the basics, but it would be communicating with your partner. Being like, hey, you know, this is something that's I'm curious about doing and I'd like to explore. Are you open to exploring that? You know, one of the big challenges people have is they have a great idea and they're like, oh, I'm going to just spring this on my partner. And then you spring it on your partner and your partner's looking at you like, what the heck are you doing, you weirdo? Like, why are you pulling out that toy? Or why are you all of a sudden slowing things down and being all woo-woo? Like, that's not how we have sex, right? And so the first step in anything is talking to your partner and being like, hey, this is something that I think would be really hot or really loving or really important. And, you know, are you open to exploring this and having some fun? And, you know, you could create – I always am a big fan of safe words so people can use different words to slow things down or to stop. But that would be the first place to start.
Great. So – we'll keep that in mind. We'll bookmark that first step, and we'll have a break and we'll come back and speak more with Dr. Stephen D. Witt.
Bringing you the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, your conscious lifestyle on steroids. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
It's on us to stop sexual assault.
To get in the way before it happens.
To get a friend home safe.
And to not blame the victim.
It's on us.
To look out for each other.
To look out.
To not look the other way.
It's on us to stand up.
To step in.
To take responsibility.
It's on us. All of us.
To stop sexual assault.
Learn how and take the pledge at itsonus.org.
Welcome to the last 15 minutes of today's show, Eros Evolution. Today we are talking about the spirit of sex with sexologist Dr. Stephen D. Witt. And he wants to invite you to learn more about how he can support you as a speaker at your next conference or work with you one-to-one to create the sex life that you deserve. So be sure to visit his website, that's drdewit.com, where you can also pick up a copy of his book, the sexual freedom system winning the inner game of sex. And just before the break, we were talking about how you can begin to start to have a better sex life and start practicing sexual empowerment. And he mm-hmm. was talking about the importance of speaking with your partner. And it's so important that the best way to start is to start and mm-hmm. not overthink things, and also mention your vulnerabilities and your fears as well, mm-hmm. Your desires. That's very important.
Yeah.
So he gave us lots of tips, including using safe words. So any other tips that you have for us, Doctor?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first part is communicating with your partner, letting them know that this is something you're interested in, and you know, checking in with them if this is something that they want to do. The next part of developing the spiritual side of sexuality is, and I always, when it's anything that comes to sex, Martha, I always like to say, you know, let's take small steps. You know, we're eating the elephant one bite at a time, not the entire elephant in our mouth at once. So one of the easiest steps that I have is meditate with your partner. And what that could be mm-hmm. is you could, you know, both be naked or clothed, depending on what you're comfortable with, and initially start sitting back to back. So your back is up against their back, and just meditate.
Yeah.
Put some music on. And so you start developing the physical connection, but also the spiritual connection. You match your breaths together. And you start going on that journey together. And then you can, you know, move around or face each other, or, you know, have one person leaning back on the other person's chest, you know, a number of different ways to connect there and start bringing that union together. Another area that next step is really works well for people is creating a bit of a ritual. And rituals don't have to be a big, you know, production. And they can be, if that's your jam and that really works for you and your partner, that's fine. But having a ritual can be just as easy as entertaining the senses. So what are you listening to? What are you smelling? What are you touching and how are you touching? What are you tasting and how are you tasting it? So putting on, like I mentioned, put on some music, you know, light a scented candle. You know, really create that sacred space that this is something that's going to be different from the usual way that you work with things. And then the last step in working with integrating, you know, the spiritual side or the spirit of sex into your practice is something that I call pleasure mapping. And so pleasure mapping, it's an opportunity for you to explore with your partner what works for them. And what different touches, what different sensations, what different ways to connect with your partner really work for them. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a very, you know, a sexually driven thing. It doesn't have to look like orgasms at the end. But, you know, it's carving out some time for you and your partner and having your partner touch you and you provide feedback of what they like, of what you like, excuse me. And, you know, some people, they have a scale of, you know, 1 to 10 that they're going to be, you know, giving their partners. Some people it's going to be moaning. Some people it's going to be a yes or a no. And the thing to remember when you're giving and receiving feedback, that your partner is not critiquing you as a lover or, you know, a person that they're sexual with. They're talking about the technique and what works. So really what is, and again, if we look at the spirituality, what has you feel most connected? What has your heart open up, your chakras all open up, and really respond to your partner's touch? And this is, pleasure mapping is something that I highly recommend people looking more into, and I want to be responsible for our time here today. One of our colleagues, an amazing person by the name of Charlie Glickman, wrote an article called Pleasure Mapping, an Easy and Effective Way to Create Amazing Sex. And if you look up pleasure mapping and then Charlie Glickman, if you Google that, just Charlie, C-H-A-R-L-I-E, and Glickman is G-L-I-C-K-M-A-N. And pleasure mapping, it'll take you to an article. And so those would be the four things that I really recommend people to start integrating things. And, you know, just overall slow things down and lighten the touch and take things slowly as you explore newly.
Beautiful. So let me just summarize. The first one is to speak with your partner about your desires and to, of course, get consent. The second is to meditate. And that's really important if you want to go anywhere with being in mindfulness with your partner. The third is to create rituals, and it could be sensory rituals, for instance. And fourth is pleasure mapping. And that involves really getting to know your partner's body through communication. So these are some of the ways I feel that are very practical for you to become more sexually empowered and actually start to move into spirit with your partner.
Yes, absolutely.
So in this show, I always ask my guests what they see is the link between sex and spirit. So I just like to hear in your own words, maybe not so much a professional perspective, but, you know, just in any way that you think, what do you personally think is the relationship between sex and spirit?
Martha, you want me to get all personal? Yeah, no problem. You know, if I go back and put my personal, you know, Stephen DeWitt hat on and not my sexologist, Dr. Stephen DeWitt hat, I'll take that one off. You know, for me, the link between sex and spirit is, you know, the opportunity and the gift for me to honor myself and the light that I am in the world, and to love and to honor the light that my partner is in the world, and really getting present to the sacredness of another human being who is with me, who trusts me, who loves me, and who is connected to me.
Beautiful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I think that is the bare essence of what it really is.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my truth. That's how I see it. That's how, you know, if I, you know, like I said, I just, you know, took a moment and that was my truth.
That's great. Yeah. So the truth requires honor. So I was here. I'm here.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. It's well said, you know. Yes, so I have learned a lot about the link between sex and spirit in the last 3 years, and I feel that spirit comes when we just let go of ego, and we're not trying, we're just being, and it's really not that difficult to move from what people consider physical sex to spiritual sex. It's just, I guess, your next breath and your next intent. Yeah. So on that happy note, so what are your next projects coming up?
Yeah. Well, I mean, for those people, there's two big things that are happening towards the new year. Things are slowing down a little bit on my end. You know, I'm also aware that, you know, for some people, you know, the holiday season isn't the most exciting or fun, and they may be missing that special someone in their life. So my private practice is still thriving, and so I love working with people through the holidays as well. So that's one thing. But the two big things that are coming up is for those people who are in Canada and specifically are in Toronto, I'm doing a full day event here in Toronto on January 21st. It's a Sunday, so if people want to get in touch with me and find out more information, we're going to be going through the four steps of the sexual freedom system and have people walk out of there like really clear on who they are and empowered and, you know, having the opportunity and the ability to connect with the partner or partners in their life. And then February 27th, and this is for everybody worldwide, I'm launching my first signature online program. So that's something I've been working on and will be working on for the next couple months, and there's going to be a big push, you know, to really have people be able to access and have freedom and have power and connection in their life. And that's all going to be available online. And so people can go through that course. It'll be a 6-week course that people can go through. And at the end of it, you know, really be connected with themselves, their spirit, their sexuality, and their partner.
That's wonderful. Yeah. So your online launch is based on your book, right?
Yeah, absolutely it is. Yep.
Okay, awesome. So thank you so much for coming on to today's show. And listeners, be sure to check out his website, that's drdewit.com, and also follow him on Twitter, also the same thing, drdewit, and you can also follow him on Facebook. So you've been amazing. You're charming, you're warm, you're funny. You're cute, so I'm so
thank
glad
you.
I got to connect with you.
My pleasure.
So,
thank
week
you, Martha.
I have a different, thank you. So next week, I have a different guest, and I'm going to be speaking about sex and creativity with Jay Weissman, and he's a publisher and an author of about a dozen books on human sexuality, including SM 101. Which is a bestseller. So yes, stay tuned to Eros Evolution next week. And in the meantime, have a great week ahead. Do your sex practices. Let us know how it goes. We want to hear from you. So take care and goodbye.